Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9 coming to you from Mechelen in the beautiful country of Belgium for Techorama 2016. I have here, I mean, the gentlemen, these gentlemen do not need any introduction.
So don't introduce us.
No, so what's going on, my friends?
I just love the role reversal here. We interview you.
I know.
That's right.
What is this about?
I know, it's what weird. I feel like you need to ask me a question or something.
You're going to interview us about interviewing?
Yes.
Is that Rico and Netta?
That's very
so
retro.
Today we're going to talk about recursion.
Nice.
Tell us about your interviewing skills.
What interviewing skills?
Oh,
we just make it up as we go along.
What was it your daughter used to say? All my dad does is say,
this is great. I made this as a joke to somebody in my daughter's presence that my job is to go, oh, wow, that's awesome. She repeated that back to somebody, like when somebody asked me what I did in a serious situation.
Oh.
Like my dad just goes, yeah. That's awesome. She was like 8. It was very cute. I couldn't really punish her, though.
It's a good job, I mean, to agree with people.
You know what? I almost feel
like... That's awesome. Wow. But we don't always agree with people, of course.
No. Sometimes. You know, I feel like we get paid to do research, you know?
Pretty much.
So here's a question. Because I do interviews as well, but there's like they just show up and you got to do something. There's you have 10 minutes with them and you gotta do something
right,
before.
Yeah.
And then there's you know they're coming for like a month and there's some, what kind of research do you put into people when they're interviewing? We're taking notes on this, by the way.
So I do most of the content planning and I work sort of two ways, right? I have an awareness of what's coming up.
Sure.
You know, that I talk to a lot of product teams. And so I have a set of story arcs that I'm always working on about topic areas like we need to explore DevOps further, which we do, right? And I'm always looking for great guests and folks in that area. On the other hand, if Anders Hallsberg wants to come on the show and talk about finger painting, come on the show, Anders.
He's a good finger painter.
He's just one of those guys. He's like, you want to hear from him at any time.
There are times when we have a guest that's written a book that I've read, so I know what they're going to talk about.
Sure.
But I kind of prefer the other one. I prefer the guest that's talking about something I don't know about.
Uh-huh.
And so I get the gist of what they're talking about. But I like coming at it from
fresh perspective.
A completely fresh perspective. That sounds a lot like that. Is that that?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
No? And what is this?
But yeah, isn't our job really to represent the listener?
Yeah.
That's right.
So you need to know some things, but not too many things.
No.
You skip over some important stuff. You know,
this
is the acronym police.
Oh, yeah.
They bust us all the time for using fast acronyms and not actually making sure everybody understands what's going on.
Especially the ones that we've known for years, because somebody might be listening new and getting a lot out of it, except that one acronym that they can't figure
and
out.
Now they're lost.
They're completely lost.
Yeah. Is there a time where, like, you might be more of a subject matter expert than the guest, and you sort of just leading them along? I mean, this guy. I mean, he reads. I think I could query him like Bing or Google, and he would tell me the right answer.
Pretty much.
So, what do you do? Are you leading them, or what's going on?
Depends on the topic,
right?
And what's the right thing to do? I mean, the other thing is, a lot of my knowledge is old too, right? So I'm very interested, like I spent a long time making websites go fast.
Yeah.
And so I have strong opinions.
Sure.
And it has a bunch of experience, but I'm really interested in the new things people are doing, the change in the tools and stuff. So, but you can get into the weeds, you're a long way away from what everybody else is interested in.
I tend to devalue the stuff that I know, and it works out pretty well for the show. Yeah.
All right, so since we got you on camera, and it's not very often I get you have you both, there's got to be some crazy shows where, because you record these a number at a time, and then you push them out. There's got to be some duds.
Oh.
There's got to be some, like, holy cow, this guy is a tool. And there's got to be some other times where you're just like, this guy is completely wrong. I mean, there's got to be some.
I can give you examples of all three of those without naming names.
And we need to, right? Because there's got to be, look, I do interviews sometimes where I'm like 5 minutes in, I'm like, all right, thanks for being on. We got to go.
Yeah. This isn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah. So tell us stories. There's got to be good stories.
I have a story. I'll start with this one. This is the first one that I ever had to say, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
It was right after 9/11,
and
somebody came on, I won't say who, talking about ASP.NET, and he just went on a tirade about the government and about security and about what we're doing in the Middle East and all that stuff, and I said, so what do you got about ASP.NET? And he goes, you know, I got nothing. And I said, well, this isn't the show you want to be on.
Right. Yeah. You're in the wrong place.
Yeah. And he realized it, but he was really shaken up, you know, yeah. So it was...
Tough time to make a recording.
It was a tough time, yeah.
One of the craziest
But we had to
thing,
kill that one.
Yeah, you gotta let the show go. Sometimes you gotta let it go.
Sure, sure.
The craziest thing his guy ever talked me into was the three-day-long weekend recording.
It was called the .NET Rocks Live Weekend, and yeah. We were essentially recording...
24/7?
12 hours of shows, 3 days in a row.
Only 7 hours break in between to sleep.
Oh, yeah. My goodness, that's and exhausting.
Now, what he was brilliant about, of course, it's just... Just voice, right?
Yeah.
So we were in these big easy chairs, yeah. The microphone pulled down, like you're basically laid out.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Asleep.
But the end by towards like the end of every 12-hour
loopiness,
block, totally punching.
Yeah.
So a few things happened. One was we definitely made some bad shows, and it was us, not the guests.
Definitely.
Right? Oh, I do apologize because we were just too tired.
Too punchy.
Sure, sure, sure.
But one show in particular, and maybe I will name names on this one because it has never seen the light of day.
Yeah.
Chris Sells.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that guy's epic, though.
An amazing guy. But this is.
It wasn't. We didn't lose it because of him. We lost it because of the story.
Yes. Well, people kept thinking it was a product, and it never became a product. And he had been on the show for years talking about the progression of Oslo,
sometimes
with Don Boggs and so forth. And I kind of snapped. You know, it was 2 days or 3 days, and I'm like, you keep coming on this show, talking about this thing. Like, when are we going to see it?
Now, bear in mind, we're good friends.
Yeah, of course.
Really, we can only do that because we're good friends.
And truly,
what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah, what's going on over there? And honestly, Chris Sells is one of the reasons that .NET Rocks exists.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he was one of the first people at Microsoft to say, this is a good thing, long before my time, right? And I adore the guy.
Sure, sure.
And it was bad enough that at the end of the show, he said, when you're going to go publish this, let me know so I can warn Wagner Edstrom. Which is really saying something.
By the way, WagEd is what we call them, or it's a PR firm.
That's your
that
PR
Microsoft
firm.
Sort of we help. So it's like, hey,
by the way.
Well, that's cool that he didn't say don't publish.
No, he never said that.
No.
But the reason that we didn't publish it, obviously, because by the time it came up to be published, Oslo was dead.
Yeah, Oslo had been killed as a project. In between we recording it, because we did 36 shows.
And we had a whole summer's worth of shows.
Yeah,
we took the summer off.
We were off for the whole summer, and it expired. And basically, it's like, when that announcement came out, it's like, that show's worthless. It's just mean now.
Yeah.
Right.
So we just never published it.
So those are some of the crazy shows. Let's talk about some of the duds. I mean, there's got to be times where you're interviewing a dude where it's just like, so tell us what you do. I write software.
No, I'm not going to name names again, but it was a more IT person, and this show was published. This was before you were co-host.
Yep.
This is Roy Blythe's era, and he has had such a monotonic thing, and it was all flat, all dead, and I'm typing to Rory, who, by the way, had checked out. This is when he was sort of checking out, he wasn't really
there. He had his own set of issues.
He wasn't really there, but I said, Rory, throw a pie in his face. Please, do something. And he tried to derail him by some outrageous joke, right? You know, because we were trying to be more funny than...
Sure, sure.
Right.
Now we're just funny by example, I guess. But and he did. And I can't even remember what it was. But it was so off color, and it was so out of nowhere. And the guy was so straight-laced and so monotonic. He just stopped. He just went... I don't really know how to answer that question, but anyway, let me get back to you. Didn't stop at all.
It was like a little tiny speed bump for that guy.
Do you have any personality at all here, buddy? I'm trying to throw you a bone here, something to laugh about, and no. I think we lost a lot of people on that show.
Oh, my goodness.
Happens.
I could hear the buttons turning off the iPods at that moment.
We've definitely had the experience that some guests are better in person.
Right.
Yeah.
And some... you know, have a tough time just over the phone or over Skype.
Right.
It's a personality thing, and so sometimes they really, really need that interaction. Sometimes it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it depends. But the studio shows are the bulk of the shows. They're all completely remote. I'm in Vancouver, he's in New London, the guest is somewhere else.
And they work.
And, I mean, I think people have a tough time telling we can't see each other while we're recording.
Right. Yeah.
But for some guests, that's a big problem, and it's tough to get a good show from them.
So in full disclosure, my first venture out in the community was at Codestock. Miguel, I think, or somebody told you, hey, you should interview this guy.
I think it was Miller.
Was it Miller?
It was Miller.
Okay, yeah. And I was like, okay, so my very first show, I think it's show 679, maybe.
Could be.
Maybe. Yep. I mean, you guys have 1,000. There's like over 1,000 now.
1,300?
1,300, yeah.
I remember the first time I talked to you guys was before I even started doing community stuff, and that sort of led to what I do now.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. And yeah. So thank you for that.
Well, thanks.
It's all our,
yeah,
we'll take all the credit for your success.
We did that.
No problem.
One of the things that's happened now that we've been literally doing the show for 13 years is there are people that started in development 10 years ago listening to us and saying someday, and now they've been on the show.
That's
so
cool.
Every so often we get a moment towards the end of the show where the guy's like, bucket list item checked off. And it's kind of freaky to be on somebody's bucket list. Like that, sure. I did not expect.
It's a nice feeling.
It's a surprise.
You are my bucket list. FYI. All right, so now we need to get to, we talked about the duds and we talked about the boring ones. There's got to be like a crazy, like, wow, this dude is like flying off the handle. How do we deal with this?
It's usually my job to rein the conversation back to the topic.
Because I'll go crazy with anybody. Wherever you want to go, let's go.
Especially, what was it we were talking? Was it Uncle Bob we were talking to?
Yep.
Where you guys just...
We went way off the rails.
Is very passionate. And with good reason.
Oh, it had nothing to do with code.
No. It was some weird technical thing that we were both into.
Space travel.
I think it was a space travel thing.
Okay.
I think we were arguing Bussard ramjets.
Oh my gosh.
Which I love. I'll do that all day long. Not exactly on topic.
And then there was the pause, and I was like, yeah, so anyway, we were talking about software.
Like, pull it back.
Come on
in.
Yeah.
Come back onto the reservation.
I could tell you the heartbreak loss.
Oh, let's do that.
The total heartbreaker. Scott Guthrie.
Oh, what happened?
It was a keynote at a conference a number of years ago, and then right after that keynote, he was doing a Q&A talk, and so we were the moderators for the Q&A talk, and I configured the recorder wrong, recorded nothing but dead air.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, and it came down to look at it, and it's like, we have nothing, it's gone. And it was a Q&A show. You could not remake it if you wanted to. It's gone.
There's certain shows you just can't.
Nope.
But that said, we've had really good shows with Scott.
Oh, yeah.
So.
No, yeah. I mean, I've heard him on
numerous,
all the way since the beginning of ASP.NET to where he is. Obviously.
Pretty much, yeah.
So tell us about the show in general. Obviously, everyone's heard about it, but it sort of branched out into, you have several kinds of shows. You have the standard vanilla people come and you talk about, but then you have these geek out shows as well. Why don't you talk about those?
That's his fault.
Yeah, but it's him that it's all Richard though. I mean.
So what was the genesis of this? Were you just like one day?
Let me tell the story.
Okay.
So we were having a conversation over a steak and some whiskey at one of these conferences, right? And he just started talking about the space shuttle.
It was the end of the space shuttle program. Last shuttle had just landed. Atlantis had landed. It was over, and I was angry.
Yeah. And after about 10 minutes, I said, how do you know all this? And he said, oh, I read the space shuttle manual front to back. Wow. Okay, that makes you qualified.
There's like maybe two people that have done
it. I know one. Yeah. I know one.
There's one.
So this went on and on and on, and all this stuff that I had no idea about the space shuttle. Like, it was way too expensive and way too redundant, and they thought it would fly a lot more than it did. And I said, we need to talk about this because this is great stuff. In fact, the whole reason that I had Richard on the show to begin with is because when I met him, I overheard him talking about how he water cools his PCs and the guy who makes flying cars, Paul Moeller.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I'm like, you've got to be on my show.
Sure,
and
sure.
So actually the first show I did with Richard was a Geek Out show.
Nice.
And so it was just this sense of, why don't we do this on a regular basis? Because he likes to do research.
Yep.
That's how he likes to spend a Sunday afternoon.
Right.
Is researching stuff. And then if he can't find someone to talk about it, he'll take his dog for a walk and talk to the dog.
Nice.
I know this about him.
That's awesome. So how many Geek Out shows have you done?
About 60.
Yeah.
60?
Yep.
What are the top, what's the range of, is it just anything geeky? Or?
Yeah, well, we let the listeners vote, right?
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, there's a whole voting system for that. So, and they sort of break into certain categories. There's a lot of energy-related shows. So all the alternative energies, nuclear power, that sort of thing. There's a big group of space-related shows, sure. Right? We did asteroid mining and going to Mars and yep. so forth. And then you get this sort of everything else. Quantum computing.
Right.
Did a great show on Moore's Law that I was very happy
the
with.
The AI right. one's really
the AI one was good
Supersonic
fun.
Supersonic jets we just did.
Just, one. That's just the latest.
Tell them about the GMO thing.
Well, that and the reason we slipped that one in there is I had to delay the next GMO show. So... genetically modified foods bubble to the top of the voting list. And I kind of dread the super controversial stuff because, you know, you get a lot of email.
We talked about this in London over Indian food.
That's right.
Right. While I was writing, working That's the right. notes, right?
And so it finally came out.
So
but we had to do a bunch of shows first. Yeah, we had to do one on modern agriculture.
Yeah.
And then we did
just
one
to ease people into it.
Well, if you don't understand how the agriculture system works, you don't understand how GMO plays into the equation.
I see.
And then the GMO topics themselves sort of broke into categories as well, talking about alterations for climate, food optimization, that kind of thing. And after we finished that show, I sort of ended it with, so what we haven't talked about is arguably the most controversial piece, which is the Roundup Ready crops and the pesticide-resistant crops,
well,
those kinds of things. So we're going to do that separately.
But the first GMO show we did, I have the typical perspective of Joe Consumer, which is like, oh, Monsanto is evil.
Bad
Monsanto, right? Because they own patents to all sorts of poisons.
Yeah.
You know, and so the natural...
And I always go into, you want to understand this more complexly than that.
Right.
Right.
And I feel
more
like
to it.
I feel like every complex topic, especially if it's polarizing...
Right.
There's usually some middle something
Absolutely.
That you
more
need to
know.
Sort of dive
Absolutely.
Into, right?
Yeah. And that's what's interesting for me about putting the Geek Guys together.
So the Monsanto people heard the show.
Yeah, okay. They've actually it's made the rounds at Monsanto, apparently.
What's that?
It's made the rounds at Monsanto.
Oh, my
They've
goodness.
Been listening to it. So,
and
yeah, they
more.
Called.
Oh, they called?
Yeah, so we're doing an interview with them. I've done a couple of interviews with them. We're going to assemble the show now, talk to one of the senior scientists, specifically around Roundup, around glyphosate. And so, got a really interesting conversation, and we're gonna sort of radio lab.
Yeah, we're gonna do a meta show around it. So.
Yeah, so I really want to play pieces of that interview to Carl
because we want to totally take what they said out of context and make them sound evil.
I mean, one of the problems if you go back and listen to all the Geekouts is a few times we've had guests on, and they come with a very strong opinion and direction, and you sort of that.
Yeah.
I don't want that to be the show,
like that,
right? So I like that.
We want to let them express their opinion, but within the context of, okay, but there's
a larger show, right? And at the same time, it's like, I don't think it's nice to put people on and then chuck them under the bus either, right? For other issues that have nothing to do with them. I have all the respect in the world for those scientists. And their core mission, we'll talk about this GMO show, is feeding more people.
Yeah. Like,
this is about optimizing the ability to make food. There's a question of how it should be managed and so on, and we're going to get into that in the next show.
Yeah. I'm more of the middle ground guy. Like, I think there's some GMOs that are fantastic, like drought-resistant wheat is a
sure.
GMO.
Sure.
Well, there would be no papaya in Hawaii anymore if not for a genetic modification to the skin of the papaya that made it resistant to the ring spot virus that was killing all of it, which, by the way, was developed by Monsanto and given away to the Hawaiian papaya growers.
Right. And that's an interesting thing, right? So I love the Geek Outs. Those are fantastic. So now let's get into sort of the craziest guest you've ever had, excluding Mark Miller.
Do we really have to... Do we really have to pick the craziest guest?
No, I mean, there's got to be like a crazy thing that happened that's just very memorable. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of them, but which one's coming?
I mean, you and Mark with the Kinect keyboard?
We started arguing. Did you like how him and I started arguing?
Yes. But it was a funny show, but it was also just a crazy technology, right?
Yeah.
That you came up with this way to gesture your way through a keyboard. That was a nutty show.
Yeah, we didn't have to finish it.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Miller's crazy, right? Oh, yeah. So one of the cool things about what you do is you got to talk to sort of tons of interesting people.
Yeah.
Like, and that's one of the fun things about my job is I kind of get to do the same.
Absolutely.
How do you prepare for those kind of interviews? Like, I had to interview the guy that runs JPL's, all of their IT.
Wow.
I got to interview someone that's working on the Europa mission.
Yeah.
And what she does is she's a mechatronics engineer, and she's building the test bed to see, because if you're drilling into ice in low gravity, if you drill too hard, you push yourself right off into the atmosphere. And so she's building these, and I'm just like I'm like a little Twitter page. I mean, how do you prepare for these kinds of things? I'm asking.
Well, you know, like we said before, if it's somebody whose work I'm familiar with, I'll have better questions, but they will also tend to be leading questions. Whereas if I come at it from, you know, no knowledge, I can start. I can get the big picture out of them first, better.
Yeah.
I tend if I know too many details, I tend to want to talk about the details first.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, and that's usually not good.
No,
right?
No. You really got to get the big picture established before you do anything.
Yeah. Well, you know,
he already just knows it everything.
It's true.
I'm pretty well read, right? Like, I'm actually up to speed on the Europa mission.
Oh man.
There's three incarnations of it now, right? Like this latest one is interesting. They're trying to avoid using nuclear power. There's almost no way.
We'll talk about that over a beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's some interviews where I go into where I know, like, the best way to tell the story, and I feel like I'm robbing them of that opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you might be wrong, too. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a very interesting challenge to allow the story to unfold the way that guest wants it to unfold, especially when it's something you care a lot about.
Sure.
But, you know, there's different ways to tell a story. You know, it's not always one right way.
So we're at show 1300 for .NET Rocks.
Yep.
What's the future of .NET Rocks? Are you going to introduce any new store, any new kind of show type?
So let's just talk about the podcast in general.
Yeah, let's do it.
The parent company, PWOP, is a production company that started for podcast production. Although we were way early, and all the podcast customers we had, we had Eastern Mountain Sports. We did a podcast for Google. We did a podcast for Nintendo. They were more like, let's try one and see what happens. And nobody was ready for it. Now I think we're probably in a better position because we've got a mature back end.
Sure,
and all that. But Richard does another show called Run As Radio.
Of course.
And he's been doing it for years.
Finished my ninth year.
Wow.
It's an IT, Microsoft-centric IT show, runasradio.com. And how many shows you got in the
470.
Wow.
Every week for 9 years.
Yeah.
Jeez. You guys are just pushing out. Like,
so there's that.
Yeah.
We also produce Hansel Minutes.
Of course.
And when I say we produce it, Scott picks the guests. He does the interview. He uploads his files to us. We put it all together with music and stuff. We stitch ads in, and we publish it on our system. And so we've been doing that consistently for a long, long time. We're spinning off the Geek Out shows.
Oh,
it's out of time.
It's just a matter of time. Yeah. It's going to be called Geeking Out with Carl and Richard.
That's
I have
cool.
a URL. I won't tell you what it is.
Is it Geeking Out with Carl and Richard?
No.
How did you guess that? That's
no.
so strange.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
And so that will be the same show, just with no references to .NET Rocks and no music and all of that stuff packaged up at a different RSS feed and just with a different, you know, for a different market.
Sure.
For the general market.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I also do.
You've got to play with the format, too.
Right. I also do a show that I just started in February, I think, about the ketogenic diet with Richard Morris, who used to be the CTO
where I used to work, DevExpress.
DevExpress. Yep. And as you can tell, I'm a big guy. And I was type 2 diabetic last June.
Okay.
And following this ketogenic diet only, I kicked all my meds, I became non-diabetic, and I lost 45 pounds in about two and a half months.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so I followed Richard Morris's lead, because he's been doing it for 2 years. And he went from really type 2 diabetic, sick, like almost going blind, to completely cured.
That's amazing.
In 6 months.
Yeah, I saw some of your postings on that, so you're going to have a podcast dedicated to that as well.
I have one. We've done 13 shows as of today. And it's at two ketodudes.com.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so PWOP Productions then spins off a myriad of different types of podcasts. That
Right.
That's awesome. So are there any shows that you're going to be adding? What's the future of .NET Rocks now that you're spinning out? Are you going to keep with the format, add more shows? What's going
on? Nothing's changing. .NET Rocks is going to be the same. We're going to have a Geek Out every week.
Yep.
But that Geek Out will also be available from a different branded RSS feed website for people who aren't .NET developers and wonder what the heck all this .NET stuff is. They just want to show it to their kids and, you know. And the Two Keto Dudes is the newest one, and other than that, we don't have any other plans.
But you understand, like, coming out of Build this year, it's really easy to be excited about .NET.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot, like, there was a time, like looking at .NET now, it feels like there is this really interesting future. Like I literally, right before when I did my talk, I'm like, hey, you want to see something cool? Like write something in Notepad Handsome style.
Yep.
I literally built something in Bash for Windows, and it was, I did touch, you know, myprog.c, and then I did Vim into it, and then I compiled using GCC, and then did an object dump.
Nice. Right?
And it's pretty cool what's happening in Windows, but now imagine being able to do that kind of stuff in Linux, like
right.
.NET and Linux.
Oh, exactly.
It's a really interesting sort of future. What do you see for the future of .NET? Since you're seeing
sky's the limit, man. Yeah. I see that it's the only language that goes everywhere, open source.
So. Yeah, you know, people ask us, how do we come up with so many shows? It's like, how am I holding back?
Yeah.
You know?
We'd be doing five a week if we had sponsorship.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there's more to talk about.
Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I love having these guys here to geek out about how to interview people. They are training me. So hopefully the stuff that you're watching will be only become better. Thanks so much for spending some time with me, buddy.
Thank you, good fun, buddy.
Richard and Carl from .NET Rocks. Thanks for watching. Again, we're here in Mechelen. For Techorama 2016, my name is Seth Juarez, this is Channel 9, and we'll see you next time. Take care.